It's Moral Monday, and you're in the wine cellar. It's Moral Monday, and you're in the wine cellar.
Governor Gretchen Whitmer is restructuring the state environmental agency that drew criticism for its handling of the Flint water crisis. She announced the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality will become the Department of Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy. Whitmer says the decision is about cleaning up Michigan's drinking water. The change does not affect the department's core function, but a newly created public advocate offices will make it easier for citizens to register their concerns and improve accountability.
Okay, you guys, relax. Okay? Take a deep breath. Be fine. Don't worry. You ready?
Oh, happy day. It's Moral Monday, and you're in the wine cellar.
Come here and stand over here. When
Jesus was. Black Jesus is much sexier than white Jesus.
When we're not on the show, Father Teresa yells at me. Oh, cool. I love stupid bullshit like this.
This show is fucked up. La 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 la
la la la la la la la la la. Exactly. Exactly.
The goddamn whitest person I've ever seen.
They will get up every day, they will kill somebody and go have some chicken at KFC.
Jesus was a white man too.
Politics is weird and creepy.
It's Moral Monday, here in the wine cellar.
Every day.
Oh, yeah.
Every day.
Black Jesus is much sexier than white Jesus.
Happy day.
Father Teresa's wine cellar is rated R.
Negroes doing Negro stuff.
Exactly, Negro.
And there that whole thing goes. Again, we'll do what I've been trying to make more consistent with doing a Monday full episode. But the full episode will be Patreon only until Saturday, which has the full episode audio experience all clipped and edited together real crispy. And throughout the week, the different segments will drop individually. But right now, I have the Facebook Live on, I have the Blog Talk Radio Live on, and you can actually, if you feel like hanging out, you can see us, you know, craft together the episode. Alright, so I think the lives, they're titled for the, which ma'am are you referring to? Right, the Deborah Messing versus Phoenix Kaleeter.
Yeah.
And the, think definitely gonna have the Liam Neeson shit in there, but that will be that's gonna be the first individual clip we drop will be the Liam Neeson.
Yes.
That is not a name I say very often, and I'm pretty sure, holy shit, this next episode of Jimmy Dore is gonna be fucking hilarious.
Hmm.
Cause Mike McRae does a Liam Neeson impression.
Nice.
So
that's who's calling in?
I guarantee you. Yeah, I mean, but right now, it's Monday, so they have a whole week to craft this sketch that I guarantee you is going to happen. And going through Phoenix Collider's past show notes, Bill Maher draws backlash for making Popeye's comment to black congressperson. Mm-hmm. And this one, I don't know if this was in your notes or my notes, but it says gay men are increasingly voting for anti-LGBTQ right-wingers, says gay cultural historian. Hmm. All right, so we'd really be trusting this individual historian and their research in going through that. And Bill Cosby pretending to be Cliff Huxtable in prison. Is this what's going on?
Man.
I don't get it.
There's a lot happening.
Bill Cosby receives sentencing.
Fucking BET's website autoplay and shit. Off Madame Noir, they have a hashtag say her name. Mm-hmm. And what is it? It says, listen to black women on relationships. Is this what?
That's not the article. The article is about a woman who died in prison.
Oh, but they have their, all these websites, like, yeah. They know people have pop-up blockers, so they just load shit all into the fucking pages now.
Right.
Okay, so shit that acting and replugging?
I'm not unplugging anything.
Oh. Phoenix Cleater keeps unplugging and replugging.
I'm not unplugging things. You're unplugging things.
It's hashtag say her name. Lamekia Dockery died in an Indiana jail after her painful cries for help were ignored. Well, that's tacit murder. Is that tacit? Is that the word I'm going with?
I think you could go with that.
Yeah, that's tacit murder. Tacitly speaking, that is tacit fucking murder. All right, and skibby flibba doop bop a dee ba da doo. WGN TV, Good Samaritan. Why are we using the word Good Samaritan? That word has some sort of historical context.
Biblical context.
Yeah, fuck that. Decent fucking person with that may have come up on a bit of class privilege they'd like to share. Picks up tab for 70 homeless folks in Chicago amid the jet stream from the broken Arctic vortex. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that black woman?
Yes.
Okay. Jeez, where the fuck does she work?
Mm.
Yeah, she's got some money dollars. Wait a second. Salvation Army? That's in this story? Have people been reading this story or just sharing the headline? All right, we're actually going to read it in the wine cellar.
Yeah.
What up?
I think the Salvation Army was just going to dump the people off at a warming center. I think they were just offering transportation. She's the one who actually put them up in the hotel. The woman.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, so Salvation... Okay. You actually read it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
Yeah. I never read... That's why I never covered it, because I never read it.
Mm.
Because them feel-good headlines, man, they'll fuck your shit up. Those feel-good headlines will fail you. And a little extra information coming out of Flint, Michigan regarding water and whatnot. Michael Wright said, hope y'all are keeping warm out there. Oh, the jet stream is gone. Like, most of the snow has melted immediately. It went up to 40 degrees in, like, less than 24 hours.
Yeah,
like, the shit went from negative to 40 degrees, like, blam.
But negative 40 to positive 40?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And there are some people with the Nation of Islam that think Allah did that.
Okay.
And all their last names are actually Muhammad on all their paperwork, for sure. Yeah. So Michael Wright, yeah, man, the temperatures went up fast. The Canadian geese are back. And
American geese now.
Yep. Now, McMurrican geese are Bizak. And, those giant fuck stack piles of snow melting so fast, we have mud puddles every the fuck where.
Yep.
Tally Loco. Yeah, I did throw the joint on live. And what you'll actually be doing, I'm gonna be stopping and clipping. So like you'll actually be getting to see my eyebrows furrow as I cut segments together. making a program. So the full episode will go under Patreon only and then be up Saturday for free. And the individual clips will go up throughout the week. And Michael Wright, yes, the car is fixed. Phoenix Cleaver is waiting for the, what is it, GoFundMe.
Yeah,
waiting for the GoFundMe to land in the bank account and go pay those folks. Because it's an old car fix-em-up place. They're small townsy. They let people pay their bill like 2 months late and shit. all right, so, and the Flint water crisis information that is at the front end, we'll touch on it more in the full episode. Man, for now, we got to get down to the schmick-schmack-schmoggle-doofen-deigle.
Oh, Phoenix. Schmoggle-doofen-deigle?
Yes, ma'am.
You really just fucking say anything.
Why don't you do like some other man?
It's Moral Monday, and you're in the wine cellar.
Recording. All right. And YouTube going, podcast audio going. Liam Neeson, apparently how his fucking name is spelled.
I should probably tweet that we're podcasting.
Oh, just you can retweet the,
you.
Yeah. Yeah, I told you I was putting the
I know, but I forgot.
Phoenix be playing her township video game.
I like that game. Shut up.
All right. That's like the number one game to Phoenix Kalita.
I do like it.
All right. So, I don't really know how everyone else is covering this so far. I've only seen like a few tweets from people that have that fancy blue check that means they're better than us.
Yes.
And they're really just on the flat out. They're just like, what? Want to go bash a black guy? But I think there's a lot more in this little 2 minutes and 15 seconds going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, the white people are already saying he's not racist. Yeah. Yeah. I actually just tweeted someone a minute ago who said that. Hold on, let me get this black podcast hashtag in my tweet. Jesus, well,
not Beth Lynch.
No, not
Beth Lynch. That's the thing. It's which white people?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, our white people are better than yours.
Yes, they are.
All right, so let's, I'm going to go ahead and get this started up here. And it was an interview that this Liam Neeson individual did with the independent.co.uk. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't sure about covering it, but it had audio. And some folks may know that kind of matters. Yeah. There we go.
I'll tell you a story. This is true. I'm not going to use any names, but I was away and I came back and she told me she had been raped. But she handled the situation of the rape in the most extraordinary way. But my immediate reaction was...
See, now, there's some, what's the vagueness there? She handled the situation of the rape in the most extraordinary way. What is he talking about?
I don't know, maybe she just went to therapy or something, or didn't seem emotionally... maybe, I don't know, she didn't seem like traumatized, or she had a support system. I don't know. I'm guessing. I don't know.
Yeah, or did she fight him off? Who knows? But yeah, there's like missing detail there. Like, handled it in the most extraordinary way. And there's a Theo Loco, that's the homie with the lawns.
Yes.
Yes, Lawn Care Theo. Lawns for Less, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Do 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 do. All right, let's get back to it.
I asked, did she know who it was? No. What color were they? She said it was a black person.
That was a fast one to go to.
Like, what? Why is that relevant to the story at all? Well, we know why, but it's like,
white patriarchy. Yeah, because if it was a white man, then it's like, all right, I think we can let the courts handle this.
Right. We I'm have sure there'll our be a thorough police investigation.
And if you really are a friend or a family member, it's like, hey, you know, I might fist fight him after a couple of brewskis, you know. But according to this narrative, and let's not forget Emmett Till exists, but fucking according to this narrative, this story he's telling that may or may not be true, this is what he wants to put out there.
I have an up and down areas with a kosh.
All right, now, he said he went up and down areas with a kosh, C-O-S-H. And I went and looked up images of that, and he essentially had a police baton.
He
quite literally had what I first learned at 5 years old was a nigger beater.
Well, that's what he intended to do with it. That's why it's called that.
And keep in mind, he already had it. He didn't say I went out and bought a kosh. That's because it's the kind of thing I keep around the house. You know, you keep your random nigger beaters.
Yes.
You know, he's a different kind of guy. He was in Ireland during the Troubles, which was a white-on-white crime.
Hoping I'd be approached by somebody. I'm ashamed to say that. And I did it for maybe a week, hoping something black would come out of a pub and have a...
Why did they edit out the word bastard?
Yeah.
All right, that's a really bad word.
It is a very bad word.
Independent.co.uk?
I still can't get over the fact that... Didn't he say this happened to her while she was abroad? So there's, like, not even a remote fucking possibility that whoever he was trying to kill was the right person.
Apparently all niggers are the same nigger. Just get one.
Just get one. It's all the same thing. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
That's interesting. Yeah, you point out that. I probably would have missed that detail.
I think that's what he said at the beginning, right?
Yeah, said she was abroad. Yeah, we can run it back. Yeah. It's our program.
Yeah, fuck it.
She had been raped. But I was away and I came back. This is true. I'm not going to use any names, but I was away and I came back. And she told me she had been raped.
Oh, he said I was away. Oh, okay, all okay, right. So she wasn't abroad. But he still wasn't looking for anyone specific.
No, just any random black person in any random pub. Might be the right person, might not be. And then I also wonder, too, what if it had been a black woman that had come out? He probably would have beat her ass, too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you've seen cop videos.
Ugh.
Yeah. All right, let's see. We were at 53 seconds when we left off. I'll put it at 50.
Black would come out of a pub and have a go at me about something, you know, so that I could kill him. And it took me a week, maybe a week and a half to kind of go over that.
So for a week and a half, this was basically George Zimmerman with a stick.
Yep.
Just walking around. I like the fact that he's like trying to make himself a potential victim defending himself, just waiting for a black bastard to come up to me.
Well, I mean, isn't that the whole point of the Stand Your Ground laws? I mean, really? Like, come on.
Yeah, let's see. It keeps going.
She said to me, where are you going? I said, I'm just going out for a walk, you know. What's wrong? Nothing's wrong. It was horrible. Horrible when I think back that I did that. And I've never admitted that to it. I'm saying it to a journalist. God forbid.
Holy
And that was his co-host of the movie that they were doing this interview for. It was like, holy shit, like the fuck did I just get myself into?
Yeah. He should get on that Obama shit. I repudiate. I don't know that nigga. Ain't never seen that nigga. He's a black bastard, far as I'm concerned. Shit.
It's awful. But I did learn a lesson from it when I eventually thought, what the are you doing, you know? And I come from a society. I grew up in Northern Ireland in the Troubles, and I knew a couple of guys that died on hunger strike, and I had acquaintances that were very caught up in the Troubles.
So Jessica May in the comments section said, I love how he's talking about this like he's the character from Taken,
right.
Which I've never seen those films, but I get the gist of it.
Yeah.
It's sort of like Becky Lives Matter fantasy.
His daughter gets kidnapped by sex traffickers when she goes on vacation in Europe. And he's like some former CIA whatever, so he has the, you know, the Jason Bourne, James Bond skill set built in. So he just tracks him down and like takes out like 500 like sex traffickers that, you know, every fucking trafficking fantasy is based on.
Oh yeah, like, flabby old Irish guys running around kicking ass, huh?
I was like,
this is so fucking believable.
Well, like, I think they were like Russians or Croatians or something that were trafficking white girls in France. And then like in the end his daughter gets sold to like some fucking like Saudi Arabian prince and he has to like kill him on a yacht and shit. And like they paid like $2 million for her because she was like a white American and she was a virgin and it was like all very like, ah, okay.
Super Mario fantasy bullshit. That's what white men think rape culture is.
Right.
Is killing brown men to save white girls.
Right. Yeah. It was ridiculous. It was a little ridiculous in a lot of places with that plot. It was something.
He's not fucking believable. Like, just the person playing the character, I don't fucking buy it.
There was a torture scene that was believable. Where he tortured someone.
Yeah.
Because he looked very, like, and now I can see why, but he seems, like, very chill about it. Because he has, like, the guy tied up, and he's, like, trying to, I don't know, like, electrocuting or some shit, and he's like, you know, this isn't, like, back in the 90s when I was in whatever fucking war zone and the electric kept going off. This is so much easier. And I was like, oh, it was kind of creepy.
Hmm.
But, I mean, yeah, the rest of it was just... And then, like, the wildest thing... I know I'm, like, tangenting about the movie now, but the thing that always bugged me about that movie is, like, there's, like, 10 million trafficked white 18-year-olds in here. He only saved his daughter. Like, he's literally busting into places, killing everybody, and just leaving the girls there.
That's that male feminism. She's someone's daughter. But if I don't know whose daughter, does it really matter?
Does it really matter? Like, he only saved one girl, and that's because she was wearing his daughter's coat, and he's like, who gave you this coat? Like, he only did it so he could find his daughter?
So it was an exchange.
Yes, it was.
The free market is strong. Yes, it was. Jesus Christ. Yeah, that sounds like a shit movie. Won't be wild. I'm just going to watch Panther again. And laugh my ass off at the fucking Killmonger and T'Challa fight scene. I love that shit. That is this your king shit cracks me the fuck up. And then when the dude says, it was my fault, well, then I'll kill you too. That scene is hilarious. And I wonder if it's because this Michael B. Jordan is really not that good of an actor, and I think that makes it funnier to me. His lines are a little clumsy.
I don't know what it is. Yeah, I liked him in Creed, though.
Creed?
Yeah.
What in the tangent? We've gone way off of it.
Yeah. So anyways, on Twitter...
Oh, people are talking about on Twitter, the Liam Neeson.
Those who are convinced Liam Neeson is suddenly some sort of white supremacist are worse than Nazis. These are the people who can't see past the nose on their face and aren't willing to continue reading past a passage that shocks them. These people are the face of ignorance. Glancing over the fact that he and his PR company clearly used the opportunity to stir controversy to promote a film, the idea of revenge for a loved one taking precedence over common sense and decency isn't new. That's not revenge! If you're just going out and killing a random person because they may have been of the same race of, you know, as someone else who attacked someone, you know, that's not revenge! That's
random
fucking hate crime!
Black bastard.
And also, you're worse than Nazis if you're mad about this. Really?
Right, that's
Nazis?
That's like the motherfucker that on the Twitter, because I was on lunch break and I looked on the Twitter and saw Phoenix Kalita beefing with Deborah Messing directly. And I'm looking further down thread and some cat said, I hate Bernie Bulls are worse than Trumpies.
Right.
And I just posted a GIF of the Trump person driving their car into a crowd of people in Charlottesville. And no comment. That was just my response, was that GIF image. All right. So I think that's about all we have on the Liam Neeson. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, folks. So for the people tuned in live, you see what I'm about to do now is I'm going to hit stop here on the YouTube. Get out of there. All right. And then I just need to rename that YouTube file. Rename.
You what?
Excuse. And we're just going to call that file Liam Neeson so it can be uploaded individually.
Father Teresa's Wine Cellar is rated R for keeping it real. The news is a shit show these days, and we're here to give you a break from the white supremacist media bullshit by bringing you the shitty news so that you can feel less like shit because you know the people discussing all the fucked up shit give a shit about you and the shitty situations you deal with every day. So shit, pour yourself a glass and settle in for Father Teresa's Wine Cellar.
And podcast audio recording, and you're back in the Martha Fracken Wine Cellar.
Yes.
Chief. Alright, so let's see what in the holy heck darn is going on out here. Yo, your man, Bill Maher.
Why is that gotta be my man?
Your man's in them.
Why is that gotta be my man's in them?
You know what never leaves my head with liberals and Bill Maher and being fans of his? The first time I saw, because I'd heard his name, this cat named Derek. That was kind of adjacent to the foster care system I was in. He was like, yeah, you know, this guy Bill Maher, he talks political stuff's pretty good. You should check him out. Mm-hmm. And one day I get myself in front of a television set with the cable hooked up to it. And he has a whole stand-up comedy special. So it's like, hey, I like stand-up comedy specials. Let's look at it. And in it, he's got his little jokey jokes. It's kind of weird how much he laughs at his own jokes. That kind of bugs me a bit. But there was one where he said that women's values have become... keep in mind, a white feminist is going to pick Bill Maher over some Bernie bro shit, right?
Right.
Or some leftist shit. But Bill Maher, the idea he put out there was... women's values have become American values. We care about feelings over facts. And he called it the pussification of America. Mm-hmm. Now, does that sound liberal or conservative to you?
Oh, yeah. He's been on that for the longest. He's still on that shit, yeah.
And that's like before. Mm-hmm. So, really, is he part of the Overton window shift in that context?
I think so.
Yeah, he's one of the people pulling it to the right.
I think so. Well, he's always had a lot of conservative fucking ideas. And remember, wasn't it on his show that who was it? Was it Gloria Steinem who went on and was like whining about the decline of feminism because girls are chasing Bernie bros?
Oh, she said said they like Bernie because that's where the boys are.
Yeah. So I mean, and it's like, but you know, that's always been his thing though. Is he only like he's very calculated with it. Because he always talks shit and says these things, but in a context that liberals will forgive him for because they're mad about whatever he's talking about. So he, like, gets a pass in that aspect.
All right. So apparently this is, it does not look like there's video or audio, but this shit is, tweets or quotes. So let's take a look here. This is coming off of thehill.com. And, comedian, and this post is by Rachel Frazin. Comedian Bill Maher drew backlash on Friday after he suggested that Representative Will Hurd, a Republican from Texas who is black, collected intelligence near Popeyes during his career in the CIA. Maher had pressed Hurd on why he was a Republican. Quote, "They're not good on national defense. The president's a traitor. What's in it for you? What is in the Republican Party for you? You were in the CIA!" Exclamation quote. Hurd, discussing his work in the CIA, and Maher said, Quote, I was the dude in the back alleys at 4 o'clock in the morning collecting intelligence. Okay, that's what Heard said. Mm-hmm. And then they continue, said, that's where they collect them? Mar responded, by the Popeye's chicken? Ah, so he kind of buried the racist joke under saying that's just where alleys are, because every alley is by a Popeye's chicken. You know that mm-hmm. franchise has that many locations?
They do. There's every like fucking alley. 27 in this town alone.
That's a big problem. Like, yeah. Because, and that's why people don't want to get caught in dark alleys. You start slipping on chicken grease, you mess up your shoes.
Whole situation. Ah, and the fucking rats are out there, the roaches.
Oh, jeez.
Like, yeah.
And they're those fucking New York rats, you know?
Right, the ones the size of German Shepherds. Fucking huge.
Yeah.
Fucking huge.
They kind of, they look like Patton Oswalt in a fucking vampire mask, you know? Just fucking wicked rats. Fuck am I? All right. I said that. Now... And Heard appeared to brush off the comment by continuing to discuss his career. And The Hill, this outlet, has reached out to Heard's office for comment on the exchange.
Ooh.
Excuse. And Maher's remarks were widely denounced on the Twitters. Quote, how many lives does Bill Maher have? Tweeted National Republican Senatorial Committee Senior Advisor Matt Whitlock. See, I think I've riffed about this before. These people are not that important. Their job title doesn't need that many fucking words. All right? National Republican Senatorial Committee Senior Advisor. Advisor. That's your fucking job. Advisor.
He wants to feel important.
National Republican Senatorial Committee Senior Advisor. And his name is Matt Whitlock. Fuck you. You're fucking Matt. That's your name. And the whole thing. It's like A Tribe Called Quest. Fucking Matt. All right?
Fucking Matt.
So fucking...
So it's like a pimp named Slipback.
Yes.
Okay.
You gotta say the whole thing. Fucking Matt said... A shocking number for someone who isn't funny and adds very little to the world. He's just being partisan. Yeah, I mean, that's just a Republican.
Yeah.
It's
just like, and then there was the whole, like, house nigger, house slave thing.
Yeah.
And, like, that's not the first time he's been on camera saying it. And it's just like, he's always fucking, I don't know. I don't like the guy.
Yeah, and I mean, I wish it wasn't on some transphobic shit, man, but it was mighty nice to see Wayne Brady invite him over to a face punching. But he had to throw in some transphobic shit with it, too.
Mm. And I remember one time back when he had Politically Incorrect, like, Boots Riley was on, and they were touching that man's afro.
Ew!
Yeah, it was fucking gross. Like, Boots over here trying to fucking tell him about, like, communism, and basically, it was, so it had to be, what, maybe the second time we went to Iraq? First time we went to Iraq? I don't know, but basically, he was just on this, like, this is corporate shit, we're over there for oil, we're stealing resources, and, you know, they're gonna put in, like, these independent contractors that are just gonna commit these, like, human rights, and they're like, he was trying to say some shit, and they're like, oh, look at your hair, black man, and I was like, oh, yeah, fuck this guy.
Bill Maher, I think I first saw him, like, playing a side character that hosted a game show on an episode of Married with Children when I was growing up. I didn't think I'd see him again and again and again.
In an episode of Murder, She Wrote.
Ugh. As I look over at the box set that we grabbed you up from a resale shop. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get the holy heck darn out of here.
It makes you feel better. He was one of the villains.
Huh.
Yeah.
That was easy to play.
Sometimes art imitates life.
Father Teresa's Wine Cellar is rated R for keeping it real.
Hot tubs aren't really my thing.
What is your thing, then?
Complex female characters.
And he showed it to NBC News, which basically is a detailed plan to traumatize children and intentionally create a humanitarian crisis, which is really no shock, but it's nice that they're now coming out with evidence, you know? instead of be like, oh, that's just because you're a liberal, you don't know, or, you know, whatever. No. So, following reports Thursday that federal officials forcibly separated thousands more migrant children from their families than previously reported, Senator Jeff Merkley released a document to NBC News revealing the Trump administration intended to traumatize children and intentionally create a humanitarian crisis. The December 2017 draft memo, which Merkley shares after receiving it from a government whistleblower, shows Trump administration officials wanted to deport children more quickly by denying them asylum hearings after taking them away from their parents. Yeah.
And this shit's a memo.
Yeah.
So it's not like a fucking screenshotted text. Like, somebody typed, this was official business.
Yep. Yeah, and actually, I can put the link, and they have the memo linked here.
Yeah, we'll link, yeah, link it up, shoot. All right, yeah, we're going to have to get that up on this device, but yeah, yeah, keep that link.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's, again, 2017 memo. So, denying them asylum hearings, President Donald Trump's, quote, child immigration strategy is immoral and comes from a dark place in the heart of this administration, said Merkley. Children are not expendable commodities in political battles. You're a fucking liar on that one. The memo was shared with high-ranking officials of DHS and the Justice Department before then-Attorney General Jeff Sessions, Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III, an ex-senator infamous for his anti-immigration positions, officially unveiled the administration's zero-tolerance policy. Okay. Toss us into a few more of the vast pile of lies we know about the Trump administration and his policy. Merkley released the... Yeah, okay. So, yeah. And I'm going to see... The memo also considered restricting green cards available to abused, abandoned, or neglected children, as well as previewing the policy of intensive background checks of people who agreed to sponsor unaccompanied migrant children. Publicly, the administration claims this is for the safety of the children, but the memo acknowledged that the policy would lead to kids being held longer. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Basically, they created a policy that they knew was going to keep kids in ICE custody longer, and ICE is killing them. This is fantastic. So, yeah. Is there anything else here?
More information?
I'm seeing if there's anything else that was not... Right, yeah. I think those are all the major details, because the memo was actually really fucking long.
Oh. so this was official business.
Yeah, it really was.
And considering it was a long memo, and Trump is kind of a one-pager kind of guy, I don't know if you heard that audio.
Yeah.
Yeah, Trump is a one-page kind of guy. This wasn't for him.
Well, also, like, then I also want to know who wrote it, because obviously Trump didn't write it.
Yeah.
So, you know. But yeah, the memo is here. It's like 5 pages long. So yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, but yeah, so basically their goal was to take the kids away from their parents and then deport them without their parents and leave them in ICE custody and just, yeah, it's fucking evil. It really is. So that's what they're doing. And now, mind you, this on top of yesterday they came out and said that they filed papers with the court saying that it's just not practical to go find all the kids that have been placed in homes with sponsors. And they just don't want to find them. They don't even want to take the time to find them. So there's several children placed with sponsors, and the government is arguing if they put them back with their parents, it'll be too traumatizing for the kids.
Yeah.
Yes?
That's the worst thing.
Yeah.
Go back with your fucking parents. Mm-hmm. All right, Jesus Christ. We just need to keep us updated on that.
Yes.
Via the Twitter, Facebook Lives, however you gotta do it, Chief. Remember, folks, you can ask Phoenix Kalita to do Facebook Live for. She has the technology. She has a smart device. She can go on the Reading in the Shade page and go live. But nobody requested. But me. And she doesn't care about my request. She's like, no, I don't. And then, nigga, shut up, nickel. All right. But,
yeah, no one cares about you, William.
That really is that's a serious story.
Yes.
All right. WineCellarMedia.com.
Finally the earth come around, cause I'm on parole and I'm on probation. Clip the kush when we hit the toll, cause the po-po hit on, po-po went on. I roll the streets with a big gun. I'm a crazy ass head son for part of
podcast audio up and or running. All right, and I do see the person on the telephone line. If you did want to speak, you can press 1 and we can bring you in. Or maybe you're just listening by telephone. It might be more convenient that way. And I can dig it. All right. So, Bill Cosby is pretending to be Cliff Huxtable in prison. Why is that a headline I have to deal with? Because Phoenix Kalita chose it for me. Yeah, so apparently, according to sources close to a probably gossip site called Radar Online, the former actor, but far more professional and prolific rapist and lackluster comedian, is acting as Dr. Cliff Huxtable, whom he played on The Cosby Show, and is allegedly treating fellow inmates. But he's not actually a doctor.
Also, wasn't he a gynecologist?
On the show? Which, that one, I'm not blaming on the goddess of irony. Like, on some level, I think that's some extra sick shit with him, as that was probably funny to him in his own head, knowing that he's a rapist and he's going to play this character, and that character's going to be America's favorite dad. He probably laughed himself to sleep many a night thinking about that.
Probably.
This is a quote from the source. All right. It says, he believes he learned a lot about how to cure people and speak to patients after playing Dr. Huxtable for nearly 8 years on The Cosby Show. Cosby is reportedly telling people still close to him that medical officials at Pennsylvania's SCI Phoenix State Prison are overeducated, unintelligent children with a clipboard. Overeducated. That nigga mad that they stripped down the motherfuckers that gave him, like, honorary PhDs and shit. All of a sudden, people that have actual PhDs are overeducated. Oh, he said Dominica, not the Dominican Republic. So that's a... Oh, shit, that's way out of context for people tuned in. While we were off the air, we were talking about this 21 Savage... And Sam Loco was helping us out with exactly where this 21 Savage is from, because we don't know much about this 21 Savage. But continuing on, so Cosby is reportedly quote, he is accepting appointments from inmates to help diagnose anything from a cold to obesity. If he thinks they're incurable, He refers them to the infirmary with a preliminary diagnosis.
What the fuck? Is he just trying to, like, pretend that he's got, like, Alzheimer's or something so he can get out of prison sooner?
I did not think that this story would have this much detail in it. I really didn't. I didn't think it would go this damn far. Continuing. Quote, I'm just offering Dr. Huxtable, that's what he says? I'm just offering Dr. Huxtable? And that's... Oh, the source says Cosby proclaimed. If that's not strange enough, he's also reportedly even dressing the part. He told us that he wore a bedsheet like an apron to get into character, the source claims. He said his medical skills are a rad tusty since he played Dr. Huxtable, but you realize the cognitive dissonance in the sentence... Skills a tad rusty since he played.
Right.
Nigga, help me. He said, but he's still hip to the role. All right. Bill Cosby is serving at least 3 years after he was convicted of drugging and sexually assaulting Andrea Constand in 2004.
I'm really just like... I really think he's trying to get out of prison early on, like, that mental whatever. Like, I don't know. Not instability, but feebleness or whatever. Like, I have Alzheimer's or dementia. I can't be here. Send me home. I don't know, man.
You gotta be like Ted Nugent, man. Shit on yourself.
Ugh, that's gross.
Yeah, that's how Ted Nugent dodged the draft. That's gross.
That feels that I thought he was blind.
Which, For our white friends out there, Theo is doing what we call throwing shade at who we call hoteps. We can get into that anytime you need.
Actually, hoteps are Bernie bros.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just so folks know, as we wrap up this segment, somebody was trying to prove that Bernie Bros are being mean to them, and they pulled up a screenshot from a Tariq Nasheed tweet, and that is how this segment ends. Please.
I said a double story.
Double story. I did. Yeah. Because I do have to get up in the morning and drive a Skyjack around.
Oh, that's fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it should be a two-day project. And I really want to get with that, with the sanitation department. Theo Loco said, 3 years only? You must not have heard this podcast before. Sir. all right, so, shit, we did not... Okay, yeah, we hit this in the headlines. Okay. Yeah. So, Lamekia Dockery died in an Indiana jail after her painful cries for help were ignored. So, this was on July 31st, 2018. This is last year. And, excuse me, right now it's February 4th, 2019, Evening Wine Cellar. And, Lamekia Dockery's name was entered into a sacred canon of black women who lost their lives in police custody due to neglect. And Phoenix Kalita said it's okay to call this tacit murder.
Yes.
That's good. That's like accurate wording.
See.
Yeah, Phoenix Kalita's going to check and make sure that I'm not saying weird words. Dockery's tragic story was profiled in a Wednesday report by the New York Times, which revealed that she died at the Elkhart Community Corrections Work Release Facility located in Indiana. For six long days, she complained of excruciating pain, but was given no medical assistance. This is a quote from someone on the Twitter, and their at is at Sarah Maslin Nur, which is Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, Maslin, M-A-S-L-I-N, and the Nur is N-I-R, says Lamekia Dockery begged to go to the hospital so much that guards came up with a solution. They put her in solitary. When she kicked the door, they came up with another. They shackled her to the bed where she died. No one will be charged. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, and that's actually, like, I guess you would say the update of the story. I think we missed it the first time, but that's the update. They have investigated themselves and found out they have done nothing wrong, so no one needs to be charged for anything.
White people just like saying the word investigate, as this next sentence will allude to. The Times investigation found that Dockery's complaints were documented and shared across several officers and administrators at the Elkhart facility. This is a quote from one of the corrections officer's logs. Quote, offender Dockery stated to me around 0800 at the front counter that she was having stomach pains for 2 days and wanted to go to the hospital. End quote. All right. There's another entry from 1210 p.m. the next day. It says she sprawled out on the floor stating she couldn't breathe. She seemed to be talking just fine.
Fuck your breath.
And, you know, I think that there's, you know, I mean, there's probably a little wavy area in between these two. Mm-hmm. But, like, we've seen the study out of the, God, it was a university in the UK. I haven't covered it in so long. I don't remember the exact institution. But the institution that conducted the study had about like 60 participants, mm-hmm. and it was a medical school.
Yeah,
and it was that white people really actually don't think black people feel as much pain, mm-hmm. and they would do examples like show a video of a sharp object going into white skin and then going into black skin, and like you could literally hear the room like silent and not really reacting when it went through the black skin, mm-hmm. but gasping and whatnot when it went through the white skin.
Right.
You know, so like there's that. But then I think there's also just sadistic liars that know mm-hmm. goddamn well you're in pain. And they're just like, I don't think so. Because right. if they say I don't think so, then they get to enjoy mm-hmm. seeing you in more pain for longer. We're going to take a look at the comments section here as we are live doing this. Mm-hmm. Tally Loco said Was she the one who said she was having trouble breathing? And they replied, oh, and you know, we just hit that that part in that past paragraph. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Excuse. All right, so this is a quote from a work release coordinator that comes from an email obtained by the New York Times. It says, quote, I am pretty sure she is going through withdrawals. She claims she hasn't ate since she has been here, which is probably why her stomach hurts, end quote.
Oh, my God.
Dockery was a 36-year-old black woman, a parent, and an addict. And for all those reasons combined, when she entered the facility on July 25th, 2018, mm-hmm. her humanity was met with little regard. Oh, the optimism in this writer.
Yeah.
They think that's... Oh, no. Oh, the optimism. No, this writer, it's a little adorable. Mm-hmm. A wee bitty boo.
I'm trying to find out where the study was done, and this is like...
Oh, she's looking up there. Okay. As we dance it forward with this article off madamnoir.com. That's always a hard word for me to say.
Yeah. And normally I don't get articles off here, but they were the only ones covering it that day.
Yeah, I don't know why I don't really fuck with them. I don't know why.
Because they're very heavily editorializing in the writing. Like, it's factually correct, but it's like, could you be a little less... Like, I would like to put my own spin on it. Just tell me what happened, you know?
Yeah, I'm trying to do my job. They don't do listicles, right?
I don't know.
I really have no idea why I don't fuck with them. Yeah, I don't know why. Doobie-doop, skip out.
Oh, apparently there have been a series of studies about this. One was in Italy, one was in the UK, and it looks like two were in America. Everything from what you were talking about with the stabbing skin to studies showing black children are less likely to get pain medication in the emergency room.
I remember that one.
Black veterans are less likely to be prescribed opioids than whites.
Oh, man, that one backfired on them.
Yeah, there's actually a few studies on this. And all saying the same thing, basically.
Well, let's see. This continues... when she arrived, facility administrators found her blood contained, all right, let's do this. Her blood contained benzodiazepine, amphetamine, and methamphetamines, which, automatically placed her in her, on a 7-day lockdown. For those, treacherous 6 days, she vomited, lay in the fetal position, and refrained from eating due to her discomfort. As a form of reprieve, staff members reportedly gave Dockery an Alka-Seltzer, and her fellow inmates pooled their money together to purchase Tylenol from a vending machine. The people.
Yeah.
The people.
And also the fact that they had to pool their money together to buy fucking Alka-Seltzer.
Yeah, well, they're not making as much as those big ballin' firefighters in the California women's prisons. Come on. You know? They're not getting a whole dollar. Whew. This is a populist podcast.
A little bit.
All right. Dancing it forward and continuing on off of madamnoir.com. One inmate who spoke to the Times on condition of anonymity out of fear of retaliation said Dockery knew of her ill-formed fate. Quote, she kept saying, I'm going to die in here, end quote. At one point, she was placed in solitary confinement because of how loud her cries were. Viewed as they may have meant to say insubordinate.
I think they did.
Yeah. So I think there's a bit of a typo there. It says viewed as subordinate. When she kept pounding on the door for medical attention, they shackled her. She died the next day on July 31st. A medical examiner ruled that she died due to of sepsis. Okay, you do your best editing after you hit send. Sepsis, a bacterial infection of the bloodstream, offset by a perforated ulcer in her intestine.
Oh, Jesus.
Shit.
That is not the way to go.
She was hurting. Dockery's mother, Charmel, recalled when the family went to review Lamekia's body, tears stained her cheeks. Months later, in October 2018, Vicki Becker, the Elkhart County prosecutor, announced no charges would be brought forth at the close of the police investigation. According to Indiana's criminal code, inmates at correctional facilities are not considered dependents, and staff are not criminally liable if they do not provide help. Don't you love prosecutors? Prosecutors should run for public office.
They should. Prosecutor is a fucking public office.
They should run for higher office. Because that it's like Obama's second term. That's when they really do their stuff.
Oh.
Ma'am. All right. So, yes, and this will be linked with the show post for this giggity gosh darn episode. All right, WineCellarMedia.com. Thank fuck, Phoenix Kalita reminded me that this was a double segment.
That's what I'm here for.
All right, and the YouTube stopped, and let's go ahead and stop the podcast. Yeah. Yo, yo. I'm on some, like, new old school type shit, nigga. 90s kids, nigga, we the new old school. All right, feel it, you dig it. This ain't no motherfucking Drake or no Kanye. Southside, Northwest, it's the Bombay. I got a little more to say than the next clown. I challenge what you believe, so you gon' flex now? Get about them echo chambers, it's bad for ya. Just look at the bullshit from last quarter. You tried to multiply, but you got division. Now pay attention to the numbers of the opposition. The competition is not slacking, so quit memorizing lines and stop acting. Yo, this here is square one, and you back up in it. Because you couldn't reach the masses being academic. You so above it that you levitating. But most working class folks ain't got no fancy ass education. They have oppression, it's economic. But you put your sword in conventional wisdom and fell upon it. Now who you wanna blame? Everybody else. In the SJ House of Mirrors, all you got is self. You got no fight up in you, just a bunch of talk. Like Ronda Rousey, the loss is your fucking fault. We gave you good ideas, but you sent them back. I hate Republicans and side-eyed Democrats. We want what's new, and then what's newer. And you got Cory Booker and fucking Chuck Schumer. These are the things that we do.
Yes.
All right, little folks. maybe not spend a whole lot of time on this one, but on LGBTQNation.com, this is interesting information. I've done no research myself. I'm totally going by what this historian is coming up with here, right? And I just think it's interesting in the context of classism.
Oh, I think it's... dear God. It's interesting in the context of white supremacy.
Oh. Oh, shit.
But no, this is... because it's actually turned into a lot of really good discussions on Twitter. Queer folks were talking about this article and sharing it and just pointing out that the constant obsession with centering cis white gay men is basically leading to replicating white supremacy in queer spaces. Because the more rights they get, of course they get them first, the more they can act like regular white men, you know, cis hetero white men. And so it's leading to a thing. And there's been queer theory about this since like the late 70s, saying that if we don't stop centering gay white men, our shit's going to get fucked up because they're going to ditch us. So here we are.
Once they can finally be bros.
Right.
Oh, man, we're bros too, bro. We're even more bro because we're around nothing but bros, bro. We are the real bros. They are.
They are.
All right, let's take a look here. So it says, in 2018 U.S. midterm elections, 82% of the LGBTQ voters voted for Democrats. McMurica's more pro-LGBTQ party, except for the ones in South Carolina that voted for the trans bathroom bill. But in many other Western countries, right-wing, virulently homophobic parties enjoy considerable support among gay voters, says Samuel Huniki, a gay historian at Stanford University who studies modern European culture. Hunniki looked at voting data from 14 elections in 5 Western countries, the US, UK, France, Germany, and Brazil, and then published a recent article, which is linked in this article, on the troubling phenomenon. And in hard-to-read letters, it says, quote, LGBT voters in other non-U.S. countries were less likely to support the conservative or, in some cases, far-right party by an average of only 7%. And when you look only at gay men, the results are even more striking. In other countries, gay men were, on average, more likely than the general electorate to support the conservative or far-right party. End quote. For example, a 2015 French poll showed 26% of gay and bisexual male voters supporting Marine Le Pen. We have an episode called Marie Le Pen Got the Jew Blues. It's a classic Wine Cellar episode. Oh, man. So, Marie Le Pen with the Jew Blues. I think in that same week we have one about Marine Le Pen and, like, she had trouble with lesbians.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, 26% of gay and bisexual men supported that candidate. And this person was with the far-right National Front Party. Ooh. Excuse. No. And only 16% of straight voters supported Le Pen. That same year, 38% of gay male couples voted for Le Pen's party, whereas only 29% of straight couples did the same. Hunniki, remember that's the researcher, notes that in France and Brazil's runoff presidential elections, the far-right politicians in each of those two-person races each received a substantial fraction of the gay male vote. In the UK, 26% of LGBTQ voters supported the Conservative Party. Mm-hmm. This motherfucker really has the numbers behind this.
Yeah.
Damn, and they actually have a chart. You folks, we're going to link this. You're actually on the LGBTQNation.com. Mm-hmm. You're actually going to want to look at this shit. This is a cold motherfucker right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got the shit broken down like a fucking Mickey Mantle rookie card. That needs to be set on fire.
No, I told you.
Oh, yeah. Just threaten to set it on fire.
Yes.
And make white men give you money to not burn it.
Yes.
Yeah. Come on. I hate baseball. like, the only thing I like about baseball is that Phoenix Kaliter has trophies from when she was a Ute.
Yes. Yes. I just don't like it because you're not American.
No, no. I'm an African in America. It's called the Diaspora, Chief. And, folks have seen the, headline and, picture going around the, black woman that got some homeless folks some shelter while we had, let's use the correct wording here, the scientific wording, the jet stream from the broken, Arctic vortex. All right. That's why the jet stream's coming down here so often now, is because it's so big, it's breaking. All right. And the jet and the vortex is essentially a giant fucking cold ass hurricane, yeah. As in it rotates just like that, strong winds and all the whatnot. But since it's so big and it's breaking all the time, the jet stream makes that motherfucker wobble. Mm-hmm. So it's basically spinning on an axis now. And then it's dipping in to the regions where niggas like me live and making me have to shovel the driveway quite literally several days in a row and missing several morning wine cellars where I had some shit to say. All right. So, in Chicago, a good person, don't need to use the word Samaritan, a good person offered to pay for hotel rooms for 70 homeless people who were camped out in tents in the bitter cold that blanketed Chicago. The offer came after the Chicago Fire Department on Wednesday confiscated nearly 100 propane tanks. Wait, hold up. The Chicago Fire Department on Wednesday, mm-hmm. confiscated nearly 100 propane tanks given to the group. I think the word two is missing. Given to the group to keep them warm as temperatures sank to negative 22 and 20 Celsius.
Yeah.
So there's like cruelty and the just doing my job.
Yeah.
Right? Because, well, we have to take these propane tanks because you are not properly trained and authorized to use them.
Yes.
Uh-huh. All right, now let's take a look here. Tally Loco said, damn, y'all meteorological as fuck. That's also meteorological as fuck is a shirt. So a homophobic ass motherfucking Salvation Army spokeswoman, Jacqueline Rachev, said the city officials told the organization about their actions at the camp. The homophobic Salvation Army was about to move the people to a warming center when the city called again and informed them of the gesture. Rachev was not sure of the identity of the good person and only knew the hotel was on the city's southern side.
You know, that's interesting, too. I really want to know what shelter they were going to move them to, because I don't believe all the warming centers are 24 hours. And they have capacity limits, too.
Shit.
Yeah. There's a lot going on there.
Not good. No. And, folks, remember, at the beginning of the episode, because I'm looking at Flint, Michigan updates, you tend to run out of updates before something relevant comes along. So the latest one is at the beginning of the episode. It's a 31-second news clip. Check it out. Stay informed on the Flint, Michigan news. And try to find folks who aren't just hucksters with a GoFundMe page up to donate to if you can. It's hard to find someone that's not just a huckster.
For Flint?
Flint, yeah.
Donate to Little Miss Flint.
Little Miss Flint.
Yeah, she's on Twitter often. She's a young girl.
Wait a second. Young girls. Wait, who controls the account?
Her parents, I believe.
What's their deal?
They're raising an activist?
Yeah, but what are they doing with the money?
Oh, my God. They're buying cases of bottled water.
All right. I just did. I live in a world full of adults, and I don't like most of them.
You don't like most of anything.
I like most of the fajitas I eat. About 100% of them. Nigga, I eat like 5 in one setting, nigga. It's real. All right. So, oh, damn, that's actually every single note I had.
Yeah.
All right. And we'll do the Phoenix versus Deborah Messing on some other shit. We don't have to do that now.
Okay.
All right. So, for the full episode, folks, that is the full episode. Please be as safe as possible wherever you are. And there's the paypal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam. Thanks to the homie that threw $3 on that joint. When I see those uneven numbers like that, I'm like, yo, that motherfucker came through with what was come throughable.
Right.
Like, I think I did that on a, like, when I no longer had overtime at my last job.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, somebody, they needed some. And I was just like, man, nigga, I got $9, nigga. And I put $9 on a nigga. And I was like, that's what I is be got.
Right.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, thank you, motherfucker. And patreon.com/winecellarmediafund. And just taking another little glancy poo with the archive chat space.
Oh, I see Sam said that.
What up?
The Conservative Party in the UK is basically the Democrats here. So neoliberal fuckery.
Oh, fuck. All right. Peace, Face Booze Live. Y'all be safe, motherfuckers. Doobie-doo. Finish live video. And let's go ahead and turn off the YouTube. Killed that episode. That shit is done. And podcast audio. Get the fuck out of here.